It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our little outdoor show that we've been doing here on KETR for, gosh, I think 7 years, maybe eight. For a long time, every week, I've had the privilege of visiting with all you folks and, you know, sharing something that's going on in my life in the outdoors, or maybe giving you some information that'll help you, hopefully help you sometimes, especially outdoor cooking recipes and things like that. And very often, actually, usually, I have a guest with me that is an expert in some facet of the outdoors. But today I do not have a guest. I am soloing, and I want to just visit with you. I've got some things to talk about that hopefully you'll find interesting. You know, for many years, actually for 30 years, I've written an outdoor column that now runs in, I think, 46 different Texas newspapers. It's about that 1,000 to 1,200 word column. And, you know, I'll write it about something outdoor related. It can be, anything from hunting elk in Colorado to catching crappie at Lake Fork. You know, I mean, everything outdoor related. I do a lot of quite a bit of cooking articles or information on cooking along with this in this column. So this past week, my newspaper column, I'm sure many of you probably read it locally there in the Greenville Herald banner, but like I say, 45 other newspapers around. But a buddy of mine up on the upper end of Lake Fork caught a gigantic snapping turtle. He didn't bring it out of the water. He hooked it while he was catfishing off of a dock and on a creek there that's adjacent his property up on the upper end of Lake Fork. Well, this thing was huge. It had a head is almost as big as a football and a body as big as a bushel basket. It was an old snapping turtle. He sent me a picture of this turtle, and I thought, okay, a snapping turtle. Then I started thinking, okay, what about snapping turtles? I know very little about snapping turtles. I've caught them on trot lines years past and always cut them loose, you know, had no need for them. I know some people do eat turtle, but not me. I probably would if I had somebody teach me how to cook them and all and prepare them, but always cut the turtles loose, let them go. Well, this one just perked my interest. It was so big and old. You could just tell this thing was ancient. But he got the turtle up to the top of the water, fishing off of his dock in the creek. And the picture, I'll send a picture with to accompany this week's show on KETR, and you can take a look at this turtle. But you can see the front part of his shell and this huge triangular-shaped head. So I thought, okay, before I write an article, I probably need to learn something about snapping turtles. Like I say, my knowledge was pretty limited. Well, come to find out, there's two type snapping turtles in the southeastern U.S. Maybe there's others species somewhere else, but there's two type snapping turtles that we will encounter. The common snapper, you know, the common snapping turtle, which has a smooth shell and a rounded head. And then the alligator snapping turtle, which has a triangular head and a very rough scale. The shell on top of the alligator snapping turtle looks almost like the, you know, on pictures of dinosaur tails you've seen, that's those barbs that stick straight up. Well, they've got rows of those. The alligator snapping turtle has rows of those ridges, if you will. So the shell on the alligator snapper is real rough. So I thought, okay, I looked at the picture and studied it. My buddy, in fact, caught or hooked an alligator snapping turtle. Well, I thought this has got to be the really ferocious turtle. Now, the common alligator turtle is the one that's really aggressive, come to find out. That's the one, if you get him up on the bank, he'll stick that neck out and snap at you. Very powerful beak. I mean, he could cut through a chicken leg easily with that beak, and they do. They're really powerful, a lot of grip in those jaws. But the alligator snapper is not as aggressive as the common snapping turtle. News to me, and I bet to many of you too. So you've learned how to identify the two different types. If it's a smooth shell, now the common turtle, a common snapper gets up to about 30 pounds, they say, I've read. And the shell is smooth, the head is rounded. The alligator gets up over 100 pounds. Now, this old turtle that my buddy got up to the top of the water and released, he estimated him to weigh 100 pounds. That's what he said. He said, I know this turtle weighed 100 pounds. Doing a little research now, this turtle could have easily been 100 years old. And that perked my interest for this newspaper column. You know, what all has that turtle seen in his century on planet Earth? It was amazing, just the thoughts. Now, I'm gonna attach the newspaper article to this show on KETR.org. Just go there and click on program, and then you can listen to this show forever. It'll be archived for years. But you can also read this article I wrote about turtles, about this particular turtle. So, you know, the whole thing is the turtle was here at the beginning of World War I. How about that? Now, that creature that he hooked while he was catfishing, pulled him up to the surface of the water, was around 100 years ago. How about that? I mean, that alone is amazing. And I'm not guessing about this because the size of the turtle and the age that they can live is qualifies him to be here at the beginning of World War I. I truly believe he was. What all has he seen? Where was he hatched? You know, was he hatched up in the Red River and in the past century, floodwaters and all wash him down the tributaries into the creek where he was landed that feeds Lake Fork? I mean, this turtle was around 60 years before Lake Fork was thought of. Now, that's something to dwell on, too. Where was that turtle? Did he spend his life in that particular creek, or was he hatched up way up north of there somewhere in some tributary? There's a whole lot to think about, and if it's kind of fun to ponder on the life of that turtle, if you really just sit back and think about it, the things that that particular critter has seen in its life. If you stop and think about it, that old turtle, when in his life did he first hear the first outboard motor, if you will? You know, he was around before there were outboard motors on boats. When did the first fisherman or guy with an outboard motor come tooling over that old turtle's head back up on that creek? Or gosh, back on the Red River or the Sulphur River, wherever he was when he was a young turtle. Fascinating thoughts, and I don't know if I'm the only one in the world that thinks about things like this. I'm going to bet it's probably interesting to everybody. But you can just imagine the life of this turtle. What did he, the first sonic boom from supersonic aircraft, maybe in the 50s, what did he think when he was laying on the bottom of that muddy creek, wherever he was, and the ground shook? Did he, you know, a lot to think about when you start thinking about the last 100 years, in the life of anything. But this old turtle, I want you to look at the picture. He's mossy green. He looks ancient. And the picture does accompany the article on our show this week on KETR. Thought you might get a kick out of thinking about that, though. I hope everybody had a good, happy 4th of July. We stuck around pretty close and went out to, we shot some fireworks on my daughter and son-in-law have a place up near Martin's Mill, and we went up there and shot some fireworks and, you know, traditionally cooked the traditional hot dog on the 4th of July, had a good time. One thing during our visit today that I want to mention to you that I've learned, I get, as an outdoors writer, I get exposed to a lot of different new and innovative products, some things that are really, I think, why didn't I think of that? A recent newspaper article, a new design of hooks, sparked another week before last, I guess it was, newspaper article. A company called Trapper Tackle sent me a variety of hooks, and they're called Trapper hooks. Well, it's one of these things that you think, my gosh, why didn't I think of that? You know, when you look at it, the design is pretty basic, pretty simple. If you think about a conventional hook, even a J hook, that's most all hooks, they might be bent or twisted a little bit, like a worm hook may have a little slight bend in the shank of the hook, but they're all basically a J design. You know, all hooks are circle hooks. Every type of hook you can think of, you think of a J design. Well, the Trapper hook does not have a J design. It has, if I can picture this with mentioned to you with words, I'm going to also include a picture of these hooks along with my column, along with my show this week in KETR. This hook has a very, maybe an elongated barb, a very sharp point to it, let's say. Then it curves down, and then it has a 90-degree trap, if you would. In other words, once that fish is hooked, once that barb penetrates the lip of a fish, it slides down into this trap, which is a little rectangle. Not your conventional smooth J design, as in most hooks, but a 90-degree trap. So the lip slides into that. He's not coming off, folks. I've had a limited experience with it. I took it out to a farm pond not far from me. It had a lot of catfish in it and bass. Now, the treble, they make trebles and standard-looking hooks. The treble hook, I fish for catfish a lot with punch bait. I use a punch bait on a treble hook. So a good punch bait will stay on a conventional treble hook pretty well. It will. Stubby's catfish bait is one that I use a lot. It's not real smelly, but it's very, very effective. Stays on the hook well. Well, I put some Stubby's catfish bait rigged up for catfish at this farm pond and used the Trapper treble hooks. I was using a number 4 treble hook. They sent me a variety of trebles and the standard hooks. Folks, that punch bait, if you can picture those 90-degree bends on that Trapper hook, it's like a cradle for that punch bait to set on. It held them well. I caught 3 or 4 catfish. It was kind of hot when I was out there, but I think I caught 4. Every one of them, I was fishing under a cork. As soon as that cork went under and I put a little tension on that line, that sharp point on that thing threaded in there. And then the amazing thing was is how these hooks lock the fish in. Once that barb penetrates the jaw on a catfish or anything else, it slides down just a little bit. The lip does, and it's in a slot. That's a good way to describe it, a slot. Well, he's not coming off, so I caught all the ones that I hooked. And then a lot of bass, no big bass in that pond, but a lot of, you know, up to 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds. I rigged up their standard hook, which for soft plastics with a Texas rig, just a regular Texas rig like all of us have probably used for years. And that hook fits the contour, it fits the worm, I was fishing plastic worms, fits it just perfectly. And I'll tell you, I caught about 3 bass on it in about an hour. Hooked every one that I got the hook set on. That sharp barb, or point, I should say, penetrates that bass really well, that lip. And I didn't lose one. A couple of them jumped, you know, like a bass will do. So that's something new. I mean, in the outdoors, if you really are, I guess if you're an old outdoor writer, people like to expose you to some of these new ideas. Some of them are awesome. Some of them are not. I mean, some of these innovative things that I get to try out, you know, are just absolutely, you think, like the title of that article, why didn't I think of that, the Trapper hooks? But, and then some of them are, you know, mediocre at best. They just not real impressive. But you can look at our website, KETR.org, click on programs, and then we'll have put a picture of the Trapper hook there, along with this old turtle that we were talking about. I want you to see these hooks. But you can also go online to trappertackle.com, www.trappertackle.com, and check them out. Folks, we did today's show a little differently. I usually have a guest with us, but I actually soloed for 15 minutes, unscripted, and I feel like I'm doing this on the porch of my cabin, and I feel like all you guys were just sitting here with me visiting. So it's been fun. Make sure and tune in next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.